The Winter Olympics start tomorrow with the opening ceremony Friday from Pyeongchang, South Korea. The games obviously require snow and ice, but new research suggests these essential commodities may be tougher to come by in some places for future Olympics and may shrink the pool of potential host cities. Daniel Scott is a professor of geography and environmental management at the University of Waterloo in Ontario, and he joins me via Skype to talk about this. And Daniel, it seems like you found there are increasingly fewer cities that climatically will be able to host the Winter Olympics?
Yeah, so we saw the struggles that Vancouver went through with having a really warm front come in, and it melted the snow on Cypress Mountain, and it was too warm to even make snow. So they had to actually helicopter snow in from another valley and then put it over top of hay bales so they could do some of the freestyle events there. And we knew Sochi was coming up next, and that was the most perplexing location to hold the Winter Games because it's almost a subtropical environment. It's like hosting the games in North Carolina. You just wouldn't host the Winter Games there. So we knew there'd be real challenges there. And so we thought, well, let's take a look at how climate has changed in the various host cities since the games started in the 1920s and 30s, how much it's warmed up, and then look at going forward, looking at how much it's projected to warm up, which of these cities would still be able to be climate reliable to host the games. And what we found is under a high emission, or if we continue to emit greenhouse gases as we are today, by the 2050s, only 10 of the 21 past host countries would still be climate reliable. And then by the end of the century, under a high emission scenario, as few as 8 would be climate reliable.
If we're just looking at the Olympics and taking the climate factor out of it for a minute, it seems anyway that there are fewer and fewer cities able to host the Olympics more broadly. Is it significant that climate is just another one of those factors?
You're exactly right. What we're seeing, particularly with the Winter Games, is it's outgrowing some of the communities. So some of the past sort of mountain communities like Innsbruck that held the Games twice in the past is really too small to even host the Games today. You just can't accommodate the tens of thousands of athletes and coaches, trainers, media, spectators, and everyone else. So that begins to reduce the pool of cities that you can draw on. But then climate was another major factor. So it's reducing, you know, by mid-century, certainly by late century, the pool of past traditional winter powerhouse communities in half.
Do you think that at some point it will just have to be like a rotation of a few cities that are, as you say, big enough to host the Olympics, but also have the right climate and the right geography in the sense that there's a city for the indoor stuff and mountains nearby for the outdoor stuff?
Yeah, no, that's great insight. And I think that's where we're actually headed to. And one of the positive findings that we did have is that even under what you might call that worst case scenario of pretty significant warming, the 8 to 10 communities that would be left in the climate reliable category, there were some of them located in North America. So there was still Calgary, there was Salt Lake City, there were still some in Europe, and there were still some in Asia. So all of the major regions that have held the games in the past would still have at least a couple of cities that would be climate reliable. And so that, you know, would still lead to a really nice global games, but maybe even more efficient for some of the cities that would continue to host the games.
Is there a larger issue here in terms of some of the events that are on the mountains, be it skiing or, you know, even some of the like the bobsled and the luge tracks, things that are outside that require it to be a certain amount of cold for them to work? Are there going to be fewer places where athletes can even train to do that stuff or learn how to do that stuff?
Yeah, that's a great point. And what we are seeing, what we've talked to athletes and we've talked to some of the coaches, an analogy is they're almost like our farmers that are on the land, and they work their land and they know their land. They see how things change. Some of these athletes, and more so the coaches, have been at this for 30 years. They've gone to the different training parts in the world. They've gone to the competitions. They've seen when they can't compete in certain places. They can't train properly because the conditions are so poor. And the athletes are seeing this sort of firsthand, and what they're telling us, you know, is reflected in the kind of data that we have to work with it. And when you go to the ski industry, as you said, you know, there's a bigger economic question. The games are every 4 years, but there's a ski industry that a lot of mountain communities rely on for winter tourism, and they're struggling some years as well, and that's going to continue as things get warmer.
Is it fair to extrapolate from the research that you did on the Winter Olympics to the Summer Games and maybe suggest that there will someday be some cities where it's too hot to have the games outside?
Some have made that argument already, like in Rio and some other places, there was significant heat stress on some of the athletes. And the one positive thing for the Winter Games is that they have much more what you might call adaptive capacity, in that they can shift the games from Northern Hemisphere to Southern Hemisphere. We can't do that with the Winter Games. And that's not to say there aren't places in the Southern Hemisphere like Chile or places that you or New Zealand where you could host the games. But the training schedules for winter athletes are such that they're geared towards a February Olympics, and it's always in February, so it has to be in the Northern Hemisphere. The Summer Games, you can sort of flip-flop. You can do it in the shoulder seasons where it's a little bit cooler at whatever location you choose, and it won't change the training regime of the athletes and their competitions leading up to the Olympics that much. So you have a bit more geography to play with. And a few more months to try to find that bit cooler period. So the Summer Games, air quality has been a big one in Beijing and some other places. So that's been an influence, and the heat, but you have more places to choose from.
All right. Daniel Scott is a professor at the University of Waterloo in Ontario, Canada. Daniel, thanks a lot for your time. I appreciate it.
Thanks for having me.